You're with us for the morning show as we continue our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Today, we're focused in on the 7th Congressional District race. Republican incumbent U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany of Minocqua is being challenged by Democrat Tricia Zunker of Wausau. And we will hear from both of them this hour, half and half, starting with Congressman Tiffany. Do you live in the 7th Congressional District representing northern Wisconsin? What issues are important to you? We're at 800-642-1234. U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany was elected to Congress earlier this year in a special election to replace Sean Duffy, who had resigned. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Representative Tiffany, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good morning, Kate.
Well, let's start with COVID. The virus activity is labeled as very high in all the counties that you represent, except for three where it's labeled as high with cases unchanged. What should the federal government be doing to bring the pandemic under control?
Yeah, so we had very low instances of the virus throughout the summer, and now it has picked up here through the fall. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to all the frontline healthcare providers for the work that they're doing. They really are doing yeoman's work. And one of the things that we could do at the federal level right now is pass a bill that we Republicans in the House put forth a couple weeks ago, and Speaker Pelosi would not take it up. It's the Paycheck Protection Plan extension that would put out an additional $138 billion to help industries that have businesses, individuals, industries, people that are working. It would help them to be able to get through this period of time, especially the hospitality industry. Restaurants and hotels have been hit particularly hard, and this bill would address that to a certain extent, but it would be targeted and using existing dollars that are already authorized.
The pandemic has had, as you mentioned, a really devastating effect on many industries, including tourism businesses. And shortly after taking this your office, you voted against a $3 trillion relief package that was approved by Democrats in the House. Why were you opposed to the bill?
Because it was $3 trillion and it was not targeted towards the pandemic. It's been one of the great disappointments in the five short months that I've been out in Congress is that the leadership of the House is really not serious about targeting the relief towards the pandemic concerns. What we're seeing, for example, there's a bill we voted on a couple weeks ago in our final votes before probably coming back until the election, where Speaker Pelosi put forward a bill that, first of all, it did not go through regular process. It was just cobbled together, thrown to the floor without going through the committee process. But then it did things like fund stimulus payments for illegals. It would have bailed out states like Illinois, California.
When you say illegals, what do you mean by that?
By people who are in our country illegally, who have not went through the normal process of coming into our country legally. But it also contained bailouts for states like Illinois. So in other words, we in Wisconsin, who have done a responsible job of budgeting, including myself when I sat on the Finance Committee in the state legislature, we would be penalized by bailing out Illinois. It would have also restored a tax break for millionaires in high-tax states like New York and California. So you had this whole grab bag of stuff that had nothing to do with helping people be able to get through this pandemic, really targeting, and plus it would explode our debt even more. I chose to vote against that bill because it was irresponsible.
Well, meanwhile, more than 34 million Americans are struggling to even meet basic expenses. Someone from your district, Ashland County, called into our finance show Monday and asked the financial expert when she should file for bankruptcy. She was breaking down. She's out of work, will likely lose her home. Why can't you get a stimulus package through?
We have put forward an alternate proposal, the Paycheck Protection Plan extension, $138 billion with a B, that would help people in a targeted fashion that have been harmed as a result of the pandemic. So we have put together alternate proposals that will help people.
We're talking with U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, running for re-election for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which includes Wausau, includes Superior, spans all or parts of 26 counties. And this is part of our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day. What questions do you have about policy? Do you live in this district? Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ann now, joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Ann.
Hello. Well, he just talked about bailing out California and Illinois. I'm all for that because they are continuously, the Republicans, bailing out big industry like the airlines and the oil companies and that kind of stuff. So, you know, if they're going to bail out people that don't need the money, then they should bail out people that do.
How would you respond to that, Congressman?
So our caller there was advocating that we not give stimulus payments to these industries that have been deeply harmed. I mean, remember how this came about. These are government-mandated shutdowns of people's businesses, large and small. When the government mandates a shutdown, then government should compensate. Now, we should not compensate to the tune of another $3 trillion bill. Let's make sure we're targeted in doing that, like the Paycheck Protection Plan. But I think as long as we make sure it's targeted, that is the approach that we should take. But also, it is important, as the president said last night, we do need to reopen. Now, we need to reopen safely and responsibly, but we can't continue these shutdowns the way they've been going because the cure is going to end up being worse than the disease with the depression that's out there. Suicides are up. If you talk to law enforcement, as I do, drug and alcohol abuse is up. All these things that harm people's lives, they're on the upswing. We have to make sure that the cure is not worse than the disease.
Let's bring in Donna now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like for the speaker to answer the original question that you asked. In his district, the COVID rates are extremely high. What are you doing to prevent that? What are you telling your citizens? I don't want to hear about the stimulus package. What are you telling your citizens that will bring those numbers down?
Very good question. And as I mentioned earlier, thank you to the frontline healthcare providers who have done such good work. My message is the virus is real, and you better take it seriously. And those frontline things, I was just listening to the interview you did at the top of this hour with Dr. Redfield. Do those primary things that our mothers used to tell us. Stay home when you're sick. Stay home when you're sick. Wash your hands. As someone who is a former hospitality business owner with a restaurant, I know how important good hygiene is. And then when you're out in public in a place that requires a mask, wear a mask.
But you've held indoor campaign events without requiring people to social distance or wear masks.
Actually, I do social distance. I do social distance. And when you cite those things on social media, I am speaking to groups and I do not wear a mask when I'm speaking to a group. I've taken this seriously in terms of making sure to socially distance, make sure to wash hands, make sure to take those precautions when necessary.
We have Canada Conversations leading up to Election Day. It's U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who is the Republican running for re-election in the 7th Congressional District. It's the largest congressional district in the state geographically. Are you an undecided voter in the district? What do you need to know before casting your ballot? What should Congress be laser focused on right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more candidate conversations right here on the Ideas Network. It's Canada Conversations leading up to Election Day. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Republican U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany in this half. He's running for re-election in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Democratic challenger Tricia Zunker will join us in the second half of the hour. And Congressman Tom Tiffany stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take another call now. Patrick is joining us from Bayfield. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I know that he's on Donald Trump's side. I think that's pretty much been established here. And so when he says he supports frontline workers, I'm a registered nurse at a hospital in Ashland. And, you know, we don't have enough rapid tests. And Donald Trump did not want to invoke the act to produce more and more tests that we need. I've been exposed multiple times in the last week alone to people with positive COVID that we found out later on because we didn't have a rapid test to find that out. And so, you know, I'm at risk. Everybody's at risk because of this, and he's not supporting us. So that's really all I have to say. Thanks.
Yeah, so thank you, Patrick, for the work that you do and to all those frontline healthcare workers. And we are seeing rapid tests that are coming out that are being shipped. There's certainly more capacity that needs to be generated to help people to be able to get that, including for our schools. And so there is more work to be done, but there's a lot that's been done already on developing therapies. And we are getting close in terms of development of a vaccine.
Let's bring in Nancy now in Rusk County with thoughts on this. Nancy, hi.
Hi. Yes, Mr. Tiffany, your responses to me are very disingenuous. If you were so concerned, why are you supporting Trump's super spreaders in the state of Wisconsin, for one, where hundreds of people, thousands of people are crowded in together? Nobody is wearing masks. Why aren't you advocating for masks? In Ladysmith, just last week, there was a super spreader event with over 100 people crowded together in one small facility. So if you are so concerned, why aren't you stepping forward then and advocating for those kinds of measures?
Yeah, first of all, there's no proof that that happened, including when you look back at the elections in April and May, where some people said that that may be the case, that these are super spreader events. There's been no proof that that's the case. And I would say to you, Nancy, if you're saying the people in Ladysmith in Rusk County, if you believe that they have created a super spreader event, you're going to have to document that and you're going to have to prove it that that is actually happening. Because people get together in all types of ways, and we need to be smart about these lockdowns. I mean, think about it. Even the World Health Organization a week and a half ago said that the lockdowns need to stop. The harm being done to people across the world is more than without lockdowns. We need to be smart. We need to be targeted. And I deliver the same message that I talked about earlier all the time. And that is wash your hands, stay home when you're sick, and wear a mask where it's required in public.
We're talking with Representative Tom Tiffany running for re-election in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which includes all or parts of 26 counties. And it's part of our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day and taking your questions at 800-642-1234. I want to look at one of the first bills you proposed in Congress, which would have withheld federal funding to schools that did not open for in-person instruction by September 8th. Given the health concerns that parents and officials are facing, why did you push for this legislation?
To incentivize schools to reopen. Dr. Redfield was interviewed at the top of this show. He said in August that we need to get kids back in school. The cold and flu season is more dangerous to kids than the coronavirus. There is very little risk, minimal risk, and those are Dr. Redfield's words, for putting kids back in school. And that's being borne out now as we're getting some data in. We are going to leave a generation of children behind. I see it with my friend, with my daughter's friends, where they're really struggling with virtual learning. 15% of the kids across the country do not have a good broadband connection. You have kids with special needs.
And speaking of broadband, which is a huge issue in your county, what inroads are you making there on broadband? What can you tell us?
Kate, let me finish my thought in regards to this. These kids with special needs are not being served well with virtual schooling. I hear it from them all the time. Broadband, a priority of mine. I helped foster the rural broadband program when I was in the state legislature, started out at $500,000. It's now $40 million, and I'll be doing the same at the federal level, getting those funds that come in a variety of ways for our rural communities. My goal is to make sure everybody gets a good broadband connection.
But, you know, that's been a goal for a long time. What is the timeline for getting federal funds on broadband to northern Wisconsin?
It is to get them here immediately. It is one of our priorities in my office in the first 5 months. One of the top priorities is to make sure we get every penny that we can here to northern Wisconsin. I took great pride when I was in the legislature to get our unfair share in the Northwoods for the people that I represent. I'm going to do the same thing out in Washington, D.C. And by the way, Kate, we've been getting some good things done in my office in regards to pandemic relief and helping people out. The Park Falls Paper Mill had $1 million loan that was jeopardized to get them reopened recently. We took care of the red tape that was getting in their way to get their final qualification for that. They are now reopened. I helped get two segments of agriculture, including ginseng growers, assistance via the coronavirus food assistance program that they did not qualify for initially. My office made sure that that got done. We are working for the people of the 7th Congressional District and getting results in just 5 short months of being out there.
Let's bring in Conrad in Madison. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, I believe the so-called Paycheck Protection Plan is a plan to take the money in people's paychecks that was destined to support the Social Security program and spend it on other things. And expert analysis says that this Social Security program wouldn't last long at all with this kind of legislation. And that's my question.
I would answer it this way, Kate, and if you want to do a follow-up, that's fine. I'll always vote to protect Social Security and Medicare. That's a guarantee that was made to the people who paid into the program. They should receive those benefits.
Well, but I think Conrad is asking more, are the dollars in the Paycheck Protection Act going to compromise Social Security down the road?
No, I believe the Social Security dollars can be backfilled to make sure that Social Security is left whole in this process.
All right, let's bring in Bill in Presque Isle. Bill, hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Living in the North Woods, we had a vote maybe like a year ago about mining that it seemed like a good 80% of his constituency voted against, and yet he supports mining and about how wonderful it is for our area. So how do those two things match up?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the question, Bill. I did author the mining reform legislation in Wisconsin, and we did two things with it. One, we made sure it's the toughest law in the United States of America of any state, that the regulations that govern mining are as tough as they get in the United States of America. The second thing is we allowed for local control. So if a local unit of government, like you're up in Presque Isle, if the people in Presque Isle say, if there was a mine deposit up there, an ore deposit, and people wanted to mine it, they'd have to go through you local folks in order to be able to get the necessary permits to be able to get this done.
How does your support of mining affect your relations with the state tribes, Wisconsin tribes?
I've went in and talked to the tribes openly. There's a few of them that I went in, visited with them, talked about it. And while they generally disagree with my position, I have an open door on that policy. And I encourage engagement on that issue, just like any other.
I want to look at the mail service. You voted against a bill in August that would have prevented the U.S. Postal Service from limiting services during the pandemic. And given that so many people in your region are in rural areas, why did you take that stance?
It was a political posturing bill. I mean, think about it. We're in on a Saturday. Speaker Pelosi brings us in as a political stunt. I went out to Washington, D.C., to take care of serious business for people. That's why I support things like the Paycheck Protection Plan extension. That's why I've been working for my constituents to get them qualified for some of the programs that are out there already, like the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. And while Speaker Pelosi wants to play games out there, and by the way, make no doubt about why there has not been another stimulus bill done, because Nancy Pelosi has said, I am running this all the way through November 3rd, and we're not passing anything through the House of Representatives. She'll give it lip service, but it's not serious what she's doing out there in Washington, D.C. I went out there to get good things done for the people of the 7th Congressional District.
Congressman Tiffany, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here, Kate. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany of Minocqua, the Republican running for re-election in the 7th Congressional District, and we'll be back after a news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. As part of our election coverage, the Ideas Network is conducting interviews with candidates on the ballot for seats in Congress. And we continue these today with a focus on the 7th Congressional District. We have the Democrat in the race, Tricia Zunker from Wausau, who is challenging U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany. And Zunker is a Ho-Chunk Supreme Court Justice, president of the Wausau Board of Education. What do you want to ask Tricia Zunker? Do you live in the North Woods? What issues matter to you? We're at 800-642-1234. Tricia, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning, Kate. Thank you.
So starting with COVID, cases are spiking throughout the 7th District, labeled very high in all the counties, except three where it's riding high and unchanged. If elected to Congress, what measures would you advocate for to bring the pandemic under control?
There's a lot of stuff that we need to see here. We are just dealing with this avoidable global health pandemic, which has subsequently resulted in a painful economic recession. And throughout this country, millions have lost jobs, hours, pay, health care, or the small business they started through no fault of their own. There's a lot of things we can do in Congress. First, we need to make sure there is enough PPE for our frontline workers. It's inexcusable that 9 months into this global health pandemic, we don't have enough protective equipment for our frontline workers. So we need to prioritize that. We need to increase testing, making it free and accessible, especially throughout this extremely rural district. We know that testing is critical to getting this pandemic under control. We need to have hazard pay for our frontline workers. We need to extend unemployment benefits for workers that have lost their livelihood due to this global health pandemic. And we need to make sure that our small businesses and our family farmers have support that they need so that they can stay afloat during this difficult time. No one should lose their business or their home because of this pandemic. And another thing is we really just need to keep highlighting people need to follow the CDC recommendations. We need to make sure everybody's wearing masks, practicing safe social distancing, reducing travel to necessary travel. All of these things are so critical to ensuring and lowering the numbers for this pandemic.
Well, on that last issue of masks, health officials have said that, as you mentioned, wearing masks is essential to bringing the pandemic under control. But wearing masks has become this political hotbed. Should the federal government mandate wearing masks in public? And how does it balance with concerns over personal liberty?
Yeah, we I understand personal liberty. We can certainly talk about that in other aspects. But there isn't a personal freedom to expose others to a deadly virus. If it can be reduced, if it can be curbed, that's what we need to do. We need to do everything that we can to reduce the spread of contagion. And it is unfortunate that this has become so politicized because this is science. This is listening to medical experts and looking at the data and understanding that this is one way that we will reduce the spread of contagion. So whether it should be a federal government or, you know, at the state level, something more needs to happen. We see that there just is a lack of compliance with Governor Evers' mask order. It's not enough. And we need people to take it seriously. I think that we need to have elected officials that really model appropriate behavior. We can't have some people wearing masks in public and at events and others that don't. It sends a mixed message. This is not a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. This is an American health and safety issue, and we all need to do our part to reduce the spread of contagion.
I want to talk about schools here for a moment, considering your position as president of the Wausau School Board. Many schools have continued to do the virtual route, but experts are warning that this is creating, you know, barriers to learning, unequal learning experiences, disadvantaging students, and especially students who don't have access to broadband. So how would you try to address this at the federal level?
Oh, well, we need to expand rural broadband access. That is absolutely necessary. And I saw this throughout the district before this pandemic hit, when I was actually able to be out safely in the district and seeing how many areas of our expansive district don't have good rural broadband access. But it certainly was magnified when we had to go to mandated virtual learning in the spring. I know with my district, we in the fall did start virtually, and we have hubs for rural broadband, for broadband access for students that don't have it. So we try to figure out how we can assist those students and those teachers. But really, it's high time we treat broadband access like the utility that it is. We need it working high speed, good quality in every household. The bottom line is people are being deprived of opportunity without it. And this is something that we can focus on at the federal level, make it affordable, have it working, and I would make this a priority in Congress.
What is your approach, though, to educating students amid the pandemic? Should schools be open, or should virtual learning be the norm right now?
Well, I think the science has to dictate what is safe. What is the safest situation for students, staff, and community? I know a lot of proponents for re-entry into buildings cite to the fact that children aren't as susceptible. If they are carriers, they're asymptomatic, children aren't dying. But it's not just about students. It's about who they expose themselves to, whether it's the lunch lady, the bus driver, the caretaker, grandma or grandpa. And so this really is a community issue. It's difficult because there's no good answer, because there are a lot of different competing factors. You know, we want to make sure everybody's safe, but also looking at, as you identified, is there equity issues that are raised as it relates to broadband, or maybe, you know, a lack of supportive household where there's a parent or guardian checking in to make sure that things are done. We know that mental health is a concern, and we need to address those concerns as students have been in isolation. There's no good answer, and the bottom line is the Trump administration's total failure to address this in a meaningful way has resulted in local school boards and local county health departments managing a global pandemic.
We're talking with Tricia Zunker, who is a Democrat challenging U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. This is part of our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day. Do you live in the North Woods? What issues matter most to you? Are you a member of Wisconsin's First Nations? What issues do you care about? Join in with your insights. Does your area lack internet reliability? What should Congress do to help? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Joan, who is joining us from Douglas County. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I am a member of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa out of Minnesota, live in Douglas County. And I'm concerned about the lack of Indian health care that's provided in Douglas County. I can go to my reservation's clinics, but anything that crosses over the border into Superior Douglas County does not qualify. All the counties around Douglas County are Indian health care counties, and Douglas County does have federal land set aside for natives, but we don't get Indian health care.
Joan, thank you for that question. Tricia, you're a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and a justice on the Tribe Supreme Court. What can you say to Joan?
Yeah, I think this really highlights why it's so important to have a seat at the table, because I have an understanding of indigenous issues that I will bring to Congress. And one thing that I am fully aware of and will advocate for is ensuring that the federal government fulfills its obligation to provide health care for Native Americans. This is something that is an obligation and a duty for the federal government as it relates to providing health care for Native Americans, and it is not being fulfilled currently. Certainly, there was a lot of improvement under the Obama administration as it related to funding for Indian health services. But just as Joan identified, there's still a lot of work to do. So this is on my radar, just like a number of issues that we need to ensure. You know, the majority of Wisconsin's tribes are in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. We need somebody that represents this district that understands that we need to protect it and strengthen tribal sovereignty, make sure treaty rights are protected, protect the environment, not just for us, but for future generations. I mean, there's so many things that need to be done, but definitely ensuring health care for Native Americans is critical.
Let's bring in Eric, who's with us from Oneida County. Hi, Eric.
Oh, yes. I think Ms. Zunker for being on. You know, we have an issue going on up in Oneida County with the new Act 134 and the repeal of the Prove It First provision on sulfide mining. And I know Tricia has supported our efforts to try and find a little more vocal control with this particular issue. Could she please address what her position is on that?
Go ahead, Tricia.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know there's no such thing as safe sulfide mining, and the majority of the sulfide mining deposits are within the 7th Congressional District. As to the law that Eric's addressed, you know, my opponent is actually the author of the bill that made it easier for the corporate mining interests to come in and destroy our beautiful lands. I believe that we need to protect these lands. We need to find alternative sources. It's too dangerous. And it's really not a Democrat or Republican issue. From the people that I've talked to throughout this district and in Oneida County, people are concerned. They're worried about their water being polluted, water that they drink, water that they use in their households. This is something that we need to make sure we protect these lands and that they are out of reach from the corporate mining interests.
But jobs to hang in the balance here, and it is an industry that creates jobs.
Yeah, I know that's something that is argued. Those jobs are temporary. That destruction to the environment is permanent, and it's irreversible. I am an advocate for bringing jobs here. We absolutely need to bring jobs. We need to bring green, clean jobs. We need to bring jobs with higher wages and benefits. And there's a lot of stuff that we can do here in Wisconsin 7 as it relates to reviving our economy, but it doesn't have to include supporting the mining companies.
We're in the midst of Canada conversations leading up to the general election. Attorney Tricia Zunker of Wausau is the Democratic challenger in the 7th Congressional District race, facing Republican U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, whom we talked with earlier in the hour. District is sprawling, spanning 26 counties in the northern reaches of our state. Are you in there? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's candidate conversations leading up to the November general election here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with the Democrat in the 7th Congressional District race. Tricia Zunker is president of the Wausau School Board and a Ho-Chunk Nation Supreme Court Justice. Her opponent is Republican U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who is running for re-election. We spoke with him in the first half, and Tricia Zunker stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take another call now. Pam is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Pam.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like her to. Hello, Tricia. Could you comment on the situation of tribal casinos remaining open during the pandemic?
Hi, Pam. Good morning. Thank you so much. You know, I am an advocate for tribal sovereignty,
And I think that this is something that has to be determined by every tribal nation based on the science, the data, whether or not it's safe, whether or not what are the mitigation strategies that are employed. We have, 576 federally recognized tribes in this country, and the majority of the 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin are in the 7th Congressional District, but they are each sovereign governments, and it really is in their purview to make that decision, but certainly should be in consultation with county health departments, state health officials, and making sure that the science and the data is the source of decision making. The bottom line is safety first is what we should be striving for. We all need to do our part to reduce the spread of contagion.
Pam, thanks. I want to shift focus here, if you will, and look at the upcoming stimulus package. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday that a vote could still happen ahead of Election Day on a stimulus package to respond to COVID. The Democratic leadership has been pushing for a much larger relief package than Republicans. Democrats in the House first passed a $3 trillion package, then a $2.2 trillion. Are Democrats, in your view, being irresponsible in pushing for a very large package they know Republicans won't support?
Well, we need to come together and we need to have something passed that's going to result in meaningful relief. We have families that are struggling. We have workers that are out of work. We have small businesses on the brink of closure. And it's not going to be helpful if we have a stalemate in Congress. So that's an approach that I would bring to Congress, is the willingness to work across the aisle to achieve bipartisan solutions that make life better here for people in Wisconsin. That said, the number that they're pushing for, I mean, we have a lot of needs. There are a lot of needs, and it costs a lot of money to help out the businesses, the farmers, the families that need it. So I certainly hope that they're going to be able to come to an agreement, maybe be able to pass part of something to at least get some relief moving, but that's where it has to be, is everybody needs to really work together. There is just too much gridlock, too much division, and we need to keep our focus on representing the people.
Yeah, but how do you strike that balance between the price tag of a rescue package and the lack of assistance to Americans during this time of, you know, economic downturn and global health crisis? How do you strike that balance?
Well, they need to get back to work, and they need to continue to hash this out. I mean, if it takes days of conversations and negotiating, they should get back to work and not leave until there is some meaningful relief for the American people.
What should the federal government do specifically to help businesses get through this time? What are you looking for?
Well, I think that they should have some funding for small businesses. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy, and they're being really hurt. We're seeing that in Wisconsin 7. I just talked to the daughter of a business owner here in Wausau. It's been a family business for 80-plus years, and the business owner is taking all the precautions, making sure that people wear masks, making sure, you know, safe social distancing, everything. But it's really hurting business, and they don't know if they'll be able to survive. That's tragic. That should not happen. This is an avoidable pandemic. Everything that's happening to our small businesses is because of the failure of the Trump administration, and we need to provide support for them. But we need to make sure that the support actually goes to businesses that deserve it. You know, in the spring, we found out about these businesses receiving the loans and receiving the assistance that were not the intended beneficiaries, and there needs to be a better process to ensure the funds go to the small businesses that really are hurting.
We're talking with Tricia Zunker, who is a Democrat challenging U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. We heard from Congressman Tiffany earlier. This is part of our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day, with your questions front and center, 800-642-1234. Let's turn to social justice and police brutality, police tactics. The Black Lives Matter movement has really elevated the issue of police brutality in this election. Do you think that the country's criminal justice system is racist, is inherently racist?
Congress can do to address race relations. So we see that this is has been highlighted. We, you know, the horrific George Floyd murder really brought to life again Black Lives Matter. And there's so much misunderstanding with that term because it's not only Black Lives Matter, it's Black Lives Matter too. And we know that there are some bad apples in law enforcement and we need to address that. An unfortunate thing is that this language of defund the police started. I don't support that. I am a supporter of law enforcement. I have a great harmonious working relationship with law enforcement in my local elected capacity. I believe we need more funding for law enforcement. We need to have funding for training for de-escalation techniques and funding for mental health resources for law enforcement and funding for increased body cams. But we do need to do things that will address race relations. We can invest in programs that divert youths from criminal behavior before police have to get involved. We have to break the school-to-prison pipeline. We can invest in cross-community programs and partnerships and help prevent criminal behavior. We can change what we choose to criminalize, and we need to reform the criminal justice system. When I was in law school, I started researching a topic of prisoner sexual violence behind bars, which nobody really wants to talk about, but it exists. And a society can be judged by how it treats its prisoners. And we are failing as a society because of the sexual violence that is occurring behind bars. But the majority of our inmates are nonviolent drug offenders. We should get them out of prisons, give them hope in a future instead of a record. We can do that by legalizing marijuana. That's something that I advocate for as well.
We have time for Kevin here in Marinette. Kevin, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for your time, and I appreciate you calling in the radio and doing this interview. My question is, first of all, thanks for the information and your comments on criminal reform. My question is back one topic on the PPP money. And do you think that all small businesses should get that money or just the ones that are struggling to make payments? Because many people and many businesses don't live within their means and they're not fiscally responsible. Why should we punish the folks that are fiscally responsible and have enough money to pay for their employees and then unequal the playing field for all? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that we need to identify who's struggling and who's not. Even with the stimulus checks that went out to families, then they just capped it at it seemed to me to be an arbitrary number because everybody that was making less than that was getting that check, but maybe they weren't all struggling. And then the flip side is maybe there are people that made more the year before, but found themselves in a position where they are struggling now. So I think you're right on that. We can't just arbitrarily assign you get this assistance because of this one factor. There's got to be a better way, and we can bring in more employees in the federal government that can audit this process to move it forward more quickly, but also make sure that it does go to the intended recipients. And we should help the people that are struggling because this is an avoidable pandemic, and I don't think anybody should lose their business. I mean, the small business owner I referenced a few minutes ago, in their family for 80-plus years, how horrible if they lose it because they're following the CDC guidelines and this pandemic just hasn't halted. That's an example of a business that should absolutely get assistance.
Tricia, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much.
Tricia Zunker is the Democrat running for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. And earlier in the hour, we heard from her opponent, the Republican incumbent Tom Tiffany, who has held the seat since May. Just ahead, it is 1A. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.